if self-loathing was a sport, then I'd finally be good at a sport.
Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Probably Punk. Hope everyone had a good Halloween. I had a good Halloween. I drove up to Santa Cruz, hung out with some of my friends. I dressed up as Marty McFly. What'd you guys dress up as? That's cool. I like that costume. Hopefully you didn't say something racist. Today on the show we have Dan from Sledding with Tigers out of San Diego. He is a great guy. He's super nice and adorable. He's got great facial hair. And we met a few years back when I booked Sledding with Tigers a show up in LA. And, you know, it's just kind of been like friendship ever since. It was actually a total coincidence that he ended up on this episode. It was supposed to be someone else, but they could not make it because they got sick at the last second. So I just kind of posted on Facebook, hey, does anyone want to come on the show? And he happened to be in LA for the day, and he came over and did it, and it went great. He played a brand new song at the end here, so stick around for that. It's a great new song. You're going to love it. So here we go, episode 3, Dan from Sledding with Tigers.
Hey, angels. It's me. What's going on, Joe?
Adjusting levels here, so everyone sounds nice.
Do I sound nice?
You know, I just happened to be in LA today, just out of nowhere.
That's great.
Isn't that crazy?
What were you doing here?
I was visiting a friend named Christina, and then I was in Glendale, and I saw that, and I was like, I'll go see my friend Joe!
Yeah, that's perfect.
It is perfect. Literally perfect.
I don't know what the Glendale Joe reference is.
Well, I was
nothing.
Well, Joe posted about that. It on Facebook.
Okay.
And I was like, I feel like I might be peaking. I mean, just in life.
That's probably fine.
Ah! You're kind of loud. You have the audacity to do this on Audacity.
Oh, yeah. Free stuff for life.
Have you ever tried Reaper?
No, I haven't.
It's really rad, it's really easy to use, and I find it's a lot easier to use for me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What makes it easier?
It's just nicer. It's more like, because Audacity feels like it's like a MS Paint version of audio recording.
Yeah.
Where,
yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes where you're like trying to move stuff, and it's just like, oh, well, you can't do that. Or like you try it, when you add reverb, it's like a fake version of reverb or something.
Yeah.
It's like... Pow,
pow. Is Reaper free?
I know it's free for a while, and then if you just never buy it, then it's still free. But even if you buy it, it's super cheap.
Okay.
Like, crazy cheap.
Yeah, I'll look into that. I just know how to use Audacity, so I've been
yeah, totally.
Using it.
Once you get used to, like... Especially, like, those weird softwares, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the kind of, like... fringe softwares. Once you get used to using it, you're like, that's the only one I can do.
Yeah, like I know a lot of people that started using GIMP instead of Photoshop.
I can't do it,
and
it doesn't work.
Yeah,
doesn't
I
work
know
for
nothing
me.
About any of this. I like
GIMP's an open source version of Photoshop,
but it's not. It's a photo editor, so it doesn't do all the things that like shape drawing and all that sort of stuff that making flyers really easy. It just doesn't chill, you know?
Yeah, it's not chill. It doesn't chill. It doesn't make you chill.
I hope this is not the beginning of the podcast.
This is the beginning.
It is.
Well, I mean, our listeners really need to know about different types of software that they can use to edit their media.
I'm still learning.
That's true.
Yeah.
I learn as I go.
All your
along
media.
With Joe.
Yeah.
Chill.
So, the Che is good now?
I think so. I'm actually not super involved over there anymore.
Okay.
I dropped out of punk So that would be a cool way.
You're now dad rock.
Yeah, I'm dad rock. I dropped out of punk a long time, but yeah, I was. I just got to a point at the Che where I had been doing it for so long, and I was tired, and I had all these other responsibilities, and I was, you know, if I put too much effort into one, I was neglecting the other, and if I put all my effort into the other one, then I was neglecting the other one, and I realized, like, oh, I'm 25 years old now, like, I have these careers going, I have all these things, like, I need to kind of take a step back. So I'll still, every once in a while, we'll do a show there. And then some of the other places that I work at do shows with the Che. And I try and stay with my ear to the ground to what's going on.
Uh-huh.
And it's looking good, to be honest. That was a long answer to that question.
No, that's great. I mean, because I, you know, when all of that stuff was happening, like, I feel like all my friends who were involved there were just, like, constantly posting about news and stuff.
Yeah.
And then I only heard one thing, maybe a week or two ago, that mm-hmm. was like, oh, it's fine now.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, why isn't everybody...
What was the matter with Che Cafe?
Oh,
was...
man. It's just
I, like, live now, in my own little LA bubble.
Here's
I don't,
a long story.
I mean,
did your computer just...
It's just the screen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I won't play police to your computer anymore. I'm the cops, by the way. That was my new job I was talking about. I'm a cop.
It's the mustache.
Yeah. But, okay, so essentially what happened is at some point the university decided that it didn't want the Che Cafe on campus anymore because it's weird, it's ugly, and it's full of kids doing radical stuff. And it's a radical organizing space, and it's just not the kind of thing that a university that's trying to put more Starbucks onto campus wants on their campus. So at that point, they kind of launched an anti-Che campaign, essentially. So they would,
that sucks.
And they would say stuff like, oh, it's not safe. And then we would produce a document that said, oh, the fire marshal said we are safe. And then they'd be like, oh, I mean, well, students don't really support it. And then we would say something to the effect of, oh, well, it's a minority space. Like, a ton of students aren't supposed to use this. It's supposed to be a safe space for queer kids, for, you know, people of color, for all these minorities that exist. And so then they're like, well, also, it's still not safe. You know, it's not, like, super safe. And then we're like, well, you can't really argue with that one. Like, I don't know what to say. And then they said that they weren't going to spend the money to renovate it, because they've also basically been crappy landlords for years. Like, there have been all these renovations that needed to happen, and we rent from the university, in a way. We, you know, we pay rent, and we pay all these things to the university to keep that place open. And in return, just like a landlord would do, their responsibility is the upkeep of the space. So if you're renting a house and your toilet goes out, it's your landlord's responsibility to fix the toilet. That's just right. How that works. And the university just neglected it for years and years and years, and they're like, oh, we can't afford it now.
That
look, it's
like,
so expensive.
It sounds like the Highland Theater. That's where I work. Same shit.
Totally. So... And then there were a lot of legal battles, and that's where it all got messy. And that's when I started to kind of back out, because I wasn't super on board with them spending a ton of money on a lawyer. But it worked out, so maybe I was wrong. But I don't know. It was at that point where I was like, okay, I'm not the most important voice here. I should step back.
Yeah.
And also take care of myself mentally and physically. And I did. And I feel really good now.
That's great.
And,
well, yeah, I mean, that's really important to know when to take a step back from whatever you're doing and
yeah, exactly.
Let someone else take the reins
it's
on it.
It's so easy to burn yourself out on that stuff because it feels good when you're doing it. And you know, if you're someone like me, you put a lot of pressure on yourself and you're like, oh, yeah, it's like, I gotta do it or else no one else is gonna do
your
it.
Your cop voice is great. I gotta do it.
I gotta do it. Like, but then you realize, like, when you do take a step back, like, other people can totally do it. Like, there's so many rad kids that are, you know, that took up the reins and, you know, I didn't need to be there like I thought I did.
Yeah.
You know?
So, like, what I read most recently was that they talked to Chancellor or...
Oh, okay. So this is the new part of the story. So,
sure.
Essentially, over the past couple months, they've been in talks with the new chancellor, who seems like a pretty straightforward rad dude, and he like in the first meeting essentially they told him, like, oh yeah, this is all the stuff that's happened, and he said what, and was got really mad at all of his staff. It's like, why are you guys doing all this? This sucks. And so now the university has, in person at least, I don't know if they've done it on paper, but in person they've agreed to pay for all the life and safety renovations that need to happen. And if that happens,
awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be rad.
Yeah, like the only thing I saw about that, which I feel like should be a really big celebration, was just one person posting like a San Diego, UC San Diego paper article about it. And it was just like, oh, is this, I couldn't even tell if it was real because it was only one person doing it.
Yeah. Well,
I felt like there
in San Diego, there was definitely a lot of people posting, but I feel like people will really dig struggle. So when the struggle was happening, they're like, yeah, and everybody's posing it. They're like, I stand with the Che. And then when it succeeds, everybody's like, yeah, of course.
Good job.
Because I posted that thing.
I'm going back to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are the other careers or things that you were putting time into?
So I work, at the time I was working at Gymboree, which is, hey, we have friends that work at Gymboree now.
Yeah, I think he just quit.
Oh.
Yeah, our friend Nick was working.
Nick.
Who's just Nick, who was going to be our guest today, but got tonsillitis yesterday.
Nick is just goofing up.
Yeah, he got tonsillitis, so he couldn't come, which that's a totally reasonable excuse.
I guess so. I have funny stories about tonsillitis, but that's not important right now. But so I was working at Gymboree. I quit that job after I quit the Che because I was like, I need to really like focus on my life and getting a real career. Now I work at the School of Rock in San Diego, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's a super rad spot where kids learn to play music and they put together shows. Like right now, a bunch of the kids are getting ready to play The Number of the Beast from front to back by Iron Maiden.
Oh, nice.
And it's tight. It's like a bunch of kids just rocking super hard. And the most recent show they did was a power trio show. So it was like Motorhead, Primus, Venom. They played black metal by Venom, which was the tightest thing you've ever seen.
How old are these children?
Anywhere from 8 years old to 18. So each little group has a total wide range. So when they did black metal, it was like a 10-year-old, like just the raddest 10-year-old you've ever seen. Just going, bop, 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 bop.
That's
cool.
Awesome.
Pretty cool.
And so I do that. I do sound at the Soda Bar, which is a venue in San Diego.
The Soda Bar is fucking awesome. What's the other venue like down the street from the Soda Bar?
The Hideout.
The Hideout. Okay.
I've done sound at the Hideout too. Both are super rad. And then for at least the foreseeable future, for a little bit, I'll be doing sound at a place called the Balboa. So it's just a lot of sound gigs and soda or. School of Rock is my main gig, so that's what I'm doing pretty much every day. Yeah.
So how often does Jack Black just come in and...
Every day.
Lay down
every day.
Tracks?
Not as often as people come in and walk in off the street and say, hey, did you know there's a movie about this place?
Oh, go figure. I'm just going to throw this out there. I'm a little quiet because I was totally unprepared, so I'm just going to... I'm here for
Damn,
really
you could have
terrible...
not said that, and nobody would have noticed.
I mean, no one's prepared. Well, there's, there's no prep. There's just we're just hanging out and talking.
It's a convo. We just have microphones weirdly
we'll
in front of our faces.
That's all.
I'm gonna make Joe edit this out, and only us three are gonna know about this.
Well, we'll see about that.
If we want to make this real, we gotta keep it all in.
Yeah,
you know?
The listener will know.
Yeah.
Right now, if they're on the inside or not. Of this. So, how did you get into doing sound stuff? Was that from doing DIY shows? And...
Actually, kind of like a weird full circle kind of thing, I guess. I started out in college doing sound at the theater that we have. So it was a lot of jazz shows, a lot of like classical shows, and which is really cool because that's tough. That was in Stockton, California.
Was
the, oh man, the Spanos. Oh, I forget her first name. but it's owned by the Spanos family, the same family that owned the Chargers and like every and also every building in Stockton.
Oh, okay.
So, is that like the sports team? I don't know if it's football or baseball or
yes.
Okay, yeah my niece
the sports
was
team.
In.
They play
it's
the
sports.
Local sports.
Okay,
local sports reference.
My niece was in the Charter Oaks Chargers. The parents are insane, and they put their children through terrible things. She's no longer there.
Oh.
Yeah, well, no, it's...
Well, you guys, you heard it here first.
Bring in the Chargers.
Charter Oaks Chargers.
They are awful women. You don't know who my niece is or who I am. Oh, wait, damn, yes, you do.
Until they Google it.
Yeah.
we look further. But so I started doing sound there at this theater, mostly for, you know, school and as like a work study job. And then when I moved to San Diego, I was volunteering a lot at the Che, and then just kind of became like the de facto, if I was there, I would do sound because I like to do it, and it's super fun. And especially at a place like the Che, it's easy. You set up like two vocal mics and a kick drum mic and you're on your way.
Yeah.
And maybe a DI if somebody's got an acoustic guitar or a synthesizer. And then so after a while of doing that, I just got in touch with the dudes at Soda Bar. And the Soda Bar does shows at the Che Cafe. So that's one of the cool things that they do is when they have someone come through, like a bigger artist, you know, like someone like The World Is, you know, at someone at that kind of level.
Uh-huh.
Where they would love to play the Che, but they now have a booking agent and they're not, you know, they're not as DIY as they used to. That's not a bad thing at all in my mind, but
no.
They have a booking agent now because
they have to.
You have to. You just have to.
Or else people aren't going to be able to see you.
Exactly. And, so. Yeah. So when they come to when they come to the Soda Bar, they say, hey, we want to play an all-ages venue, but you're our contact. So he's like, oh, well, I work with the Che Cafe. Let's throw the show at the Che Cafe. Done. Bow. So then it's the Soda Bar presents at the Che Cafe.
Okay, huh. That sounds like a really good setup.
It's an amazing... it's perfect. Because we still get to have the shows that would normally skip San Diego.
Yeah.
And that's what you saw when kind of the Che was going down, is all these tours were skipping San Diego. And was like, what? Why are they doing that? It's like, there's not really a good all-ages spot in San Diego right now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't think I've ever heard of something like that happening before, so that's really cool.
Yeah. I don't know if it happens other places. It happens a lot in San Diego. Like, the Casbah will throw shows at the Soda Bar. Soda Bar will throw shows at the Irenic, which is a giant church. Just super rad. I saw Ceremony there.
At
it was
a
like,
church?
Yeah. Ceremony.
Church Ceremony.
What?
Church.
Oh, no. I saw the band Ceremony with Weatherbox and Titus Andronicus at
That's
the
awesome.
Irenic.
It was it's a real church?
It's a real working...
That's still...
Like, it churches on the weekends during the day.
That's
and then
great.
Does shows the rest of the time.
It parties during the week. And
oh, and they...
Parties during the weekend.
Yeah, we did... the School of Rock did our Black Sabbath show, and they let the cross down, and it was tight.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. It's like the dude that runs it right now is named Matt, and he's, you know, he's super down, and he's been playing in bands forever. He played in Dan Potthast's band and all sorts
oh.
of stuff, so...
Cool.
Yeah.
Wait, which one?
Dan P and the Bricks, I think.
Okay.
This is a long time ago. He also played the Dwarves for a tour or something.
Well.
But we won't talk about the Dwarves.
So you're from San Diego,
mm-hmm.
right? And then went to Stockton for school, and now you're back.
Yeah. I'm
well,
back,
you've
been, baby.
You've been back.
I'm back, baby. Yeah.
We're announcing right here on the show. Dan
San Diego,
back.
I'm back. It's been like 4 years now. But yeah, so I moved to Stockton for 4 years, and then I moved back, and I was ready to move out of San Diego forever because I'd lived there before, and I'd lived in like the suburbs of San Diego. Like, no real culture, no real art scene, no real music scene in that neighborhood. And then I started exploring and found where I live now, which is kind of like the City Heights, mid-city area. And I was like, oh, okay, I could live in San Diego. So I moved, and I don't feel like I live in my hometown, you know?
Yeah.
You know how some people just stay in, like, their one spot? Like, yeah. I really feel like I'm in a different city, which I think, technically I am. Town? City?
Municipality?
Yeah.
Unincorporated
Greater San
area?
Diego District? I don't know. I think my congressman
well,
is
good.
Different.
That's good, because you still get to keep all your friends. You
yeah.
just live in a
and all my,
new
like,
place.
Yeah, and all the San Diego contacts I've made, and like
yeah.
all those kind of relationships that you build up through the DIY scene, like those still exist, and you know all those bands that I grew up seeing are now getting huge, and it's like, yeah.
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 On a side note, I still live in the city. Well, I live in, like, the outskirts of, like, downtown. I still live in the neighborhood I grew up in, and I'd like to remain living in the neighborhood I grew up in.
Nice.
It's like, I don't know where I'm going with that. Never mind. Never mind. I'm just saying, yeah.
No, what? You're just, like, the opposite of a pop punk band. I'm gonna stay in this town.
Well, I didn't really grow up in like a suburban cul-de-sac. I grew up in like inner city, so it's a little different.
Totally.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, stay where you want or move somewhere else. Both
you know?
Are totally valid options.
Live your life. Turn your dreams into goals.
Hey,
and your goals into reality.
Is this a Rihanna? Wait, is that Rihanna?
What?
So live your life. Whoa.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
that's
Rihanna.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah. It's to my understanding that you're working extremely hard on making a full album about Space Jam.
Damn, that's already done.
Is that
dog?
Done? Really?
Yeah, that
no. I'm just...
Well, is it really?
Well, it is done.
Is it? Well,
yeah. I just didn't mean to give you a hard time about it. There's no reason for you to know that. There's no reason for anybody to know that a thing that I did is done.
How long ago was that finished?
We released it, I believe, early August.
I was hoping you would say 2010.
Yeah, it was like years ago. It was within the last 3 months.
What was the funnest thing about recording that album, and how long did it really take you?
It took me, the least fun part was writing it, because I just got real nervous. I wrote one song like the first week after I had told people I was gonna do it, and then I waited 6 months to write anything else because I was like, your phone just fell in the trash can.
It's cool, it's just paper.
Just paper. So it taken a long time just to even start writing again, because I just got, I don't know, I was like, how am I going to write a full album about Space Jam? Like, is it supposed to be funny the whole
time? That's such a great idea.
And so then one night I just had like this really like weird spark of creative energy. Space and I wrote Jam. 7 songs all in one night. Just like bow, 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 bow,
oh,
bow,
wow.
bow, bow, bow.
Okay.
After that then I was ready to get started recording. And recording is one of my favorite things to do. I just love it.
That's the opposite of what I usually hear.
Really?
Is people are, that's the part they don't like about doing music is yeah. recording.
I love it. It's like, it's so fun to play with, and I record with my best friend, and we just do everything in his house, you know. It's not like a really stressful recording environment.
Yeah.
So we can kind of goof around, and, you know, we can try different things, and a lot of the songs really come together in the studio for me. Like, if you see me play a song live before I've recorded it, that song is not going to sound like that once it gets in the studio. It's just going to change, and, you know, things are going to happen. You're going to come up with different melodies. Like, half of the writing process for me is recording.
That's really cool, because that's not... I don't hear that from a lot of people.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting to me that you do so much in the recording process.
It's so fun. It's like playing a game. You get to play with, like, a little computer game where you record some stuff, and then you're like, oh, I want to put this there.
And your favorite computer game where you...
Recording. But, what was I saying? I don't know.
You like recording.
It was chill.
There's also water right there for
you.
Oh,
hell yeah. I'm thirsty. I went to Grill 'Em All today. You guys haven't been?
No, I've never been there.
I've seen it. I don't even know what that is.
It's a metal-themed burgers like place, and all the burgers are super absurd. Like, it's hard to describe. I went for the first time today, and I'm transfixed by it. So, for example, like they call it the Behemoth. Which I think is a metal band, maybe? Probably.
Or a
yes.
song?
I'm positive.
100% sure that there's a metal band out there somewhere named The Behemoth. But it's a burger with like bacon and sriracha, mayo, and stuff like that. And then the buns are 2 grilled cheese sandwiches.
I've had a burger like that before. It's really good.
And then they have one that's like the waffles for a bun, and then there's fried chicken. And the one that my friends had like hot wings on it, and blue cheese, and then bacon, and then a beef patty.
That's a lot.
That's
a little too much.
That sounds pretty heavy metal. That's like...
I am so full right now. My body hurts. I haven't been this full in like 8 months, probably.
I don't believe that. I bet you were this full like last week. Like...
what was 8 months ago?
I don't know. There's no reference to that. I was just given a vague. 8 months ago is when I tried to start not eating like a big old piece of crap all the time.
And today was the day you decided to start.
Yeah, the day was
again.
Like, I'm done with that.
Well, I was goal accomplished. Now I can
gonna
eat
the Behemoth.
I was like, I made it 8 months.
I like your country voice.
Thank you.
You should just be a voice actor, really.
I wish. That's the dream.
voice acting, casting, voice.
What?
Voice.
What are you saying, Joe?
Voice casting directors, listen up. Dan's ready and available for all your voice acting needs.
I know people.
He's got a great Popeye.
And a great mustache.
Yeah. One of my favorite things to do in college, and you can totally steal this, it's very fun. If you see a group of people, you point out like your best friend in that group and say like, Steve, do your Cher impression. And Steve will be like, I don't have a Cher impression. And you can say to him, no, Steve, you do the best Cher impression. Guys, Cher impression. He does not have a Cher impression. And then you watch him like try and figure out like, have I done a Cher impression in front of Dan before? And then they'll almost 100% of the time, eventually they'll just look really panicked and then they'll say, do you believe in my and it's great every time. So a little fun party prank for all of you. What's this podcast supposed to be about? Fun party pranks?
Probably party pranks. Is the name
Party Pranks Podcast. Triple P.
It's about how to trick your friends into doing Cher impressions.
Exactly. Exclusively.
I guess back on topic, I mean, not that
are we?
It's not really a topic, but what kind of music did you listen to growing up? Like, I don't know, that was something that we talked about on our first episode, so I feel like that's a good...
It's a big old mess.
Yeah.
So when I was a youngster, little child, my parents and my mom mostly listened to pop country music. So that's all I listened to. And there's some good stuff back there, like Dwight Yoakam's still pretty solid, but most of it's garbage. And then once I got a little bit older, then my dad would show me like classic rock bands like Aerosmith and Deep Purple. And then he would show me weird prog rock bands. So for a while, my favorite band was Emerson, Lake and Palmer, which is a terrible favorite band to have if you want to relate to your fellow students.
His was Queen.
That's fine. That's easy. Queen is easy. When you tell someone your favorite band is Emerson, Lake and Palmer, they say, I don't think I want to talk to this person anymore. But, and then, so, after I moved on from that, then it was still like, oh, and then I had my weird Dave Matthews Band phase, and this is, like, mid-high school, so way into Dave Matthews Band, and it wasn't until college, until I, like, discovered punk. It was bands like Bomb the Music Industry, Andrew Jackson Jihad, and Paul Baraboe, and kind of, those were, like, my gateways into punk.
Uh-huh.
So, I'm the opposite of all my friends who, like, found punk when they were kids, and it saved their lives. And I was just like, when I got into college, I was like, I don't really need this. So yeah, that's kind of my weird timeline.
Yeah,
starts with pop country, ends with punk, and now I'm really into pop music again.
Yeah, hence you phrasing something in the sound of that Rihanna.
That's true.
Yeah, song.
My life is just one long continuous Rihanna reference.
Could you tell us a little bit about your band name? I know that it's a reference to Calvin and Hobbes, and
That's it. There we go.
Well, would you mind
expounding?
Yeah, to the listeners, like how that came about.
I'm the kind of guy.
It's like the three listeners.
No, there's more than that. We're on our like third episode by now, right?
Yeah, this is the third one.
Oh
so
my gosh! So you've
we've
built
taken
a fan
over
base.
The podcast yeah. here at this Do point. I mean, when this gets released, yeah.
Oh yeah,
because nothing's been released so far.
This is all theoretical. Yeah. This doesn't even exist right now.
It doesn't.
But it's just the Calvin and Hobbes reference. There's nothing more. I love Calvin and Hobbes more than anything, and that last comic makes me cry every time I read it. So I was like, that's our band name. And I'm the kind of guy that just writes or like figures out band names every day of his life. You know, I'm just, every time I hear something that I think might be a fun band name, I just plop into my head. And Sledding with Tigers was the one that I had at the moment that I started that band. So if I would have started it 3 weeks later, it would have been a different band name.
What?
Well, like, if I were to start the band right now, it would be called Have a Great Summer. And then our first album would be called Keep in Touch. And then our second album would just be my phone number. And then in parentheses,
I relate
don't ever
to that.
Change.
I relate to the phone number thing.
That's really
so
good.
Which one do you...
A yearbook band.
Yeah.
Which of the characters do you, which of the two do you relate to more?
Oh, baby. Doesn't everybody relate to Calvin more?
No. I don't relate. I don't know. I wouldn't know. Oh, no.
I do. What's wrong?
There goes the coffee.
Coffee and water.
That's coffee fine. And water. New podcast.
New bad name.
Yeah, I think Calvin, he's the id, you know? And sometimes that's what our band is like the id, just like the base instincts. That's what the id is, right?
I wouldn't know.
I think so. Yeah, the id is like your base instinct. It's like the hedonistic properties of whatever you're doing. And sometimes that's what music is for me. It's like the, this feels good to sing songs about my feelings, so I'm going to do it and not think about the consequences.
You should, that should be a song.
That is a song.
We're going to release that as a single.
Yeah. Auto-tune it.
Announcing the Auto-Tune Dan contest, someone take that clip and just auto-tune it the best you can, and he will put it out officially on his website.
Yeah, baby. We'll put it on vinyl. I'll make antique records, put it out on vinyl.
How long has Sliding with Tigers been a band at this point?
About, it's been its current incarnation for 5 years.
That's a good length of time there.
Yeah, that's the only reason we've gained any sort of popularity, is just people at some point can't avoid it.
And how many of you are there? In...
It depends. basically, it's the band is me and anybody else that wants to be a part of it at that moment. So there's no like requirement to stay around in the band. I don't ask, you know, for a commitment out of anybody. Basically, if you can play a show, you get to play that show. Or you can play that show if you want.
How many people have you played with? Do you have a guesstimate?
It's like 8 now. 8 to 9 people have been in the band at some point.
I don't know if this is still true, but I feel like when I first started to get to know the San Diego scene, there was a lot of bands that operated that way, where it's just like, there's one person who's like the main person, and then whoever else was around that day.
Yeah. It's really weird. It is maybe like kind of specifically to San Diego. No, I don't think so. Maybe. I don't know. But like Weatherbox is kind of that way. Like Weatherbox hasn't had the same lineup for more than 5 seconds.
Chencho's that way.
Yeah.
New washboard player like every twice.
Every twice.
They play twice and each time.
No. And then there's, I don't know, they just play with, we play with whoever we're playing with.
I just found like, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm selfish and I'm very like insular and very inside my own head, but like it's much easier for me to just write and then, you know, get input and have those people around, and they make the songs 1,000 times better. But I think all my favorite bands come from a singular vision, you know, like a singular vision in the band where it's like, oh yeah, that band is that guy with all the other people. Bomb the Music Industry is my favorite band in the whole
wide
world.
Yeah, I was about to.
And like Jeff Rosenstock is Bomb the Music Industry, you know, I mean, and all those other people like Mike Costa and John and all those guys, and Jeff would say this too, they're integral to that band. But when it gets down to the brass tacks, like, it started as Jeff's project and it is Jeff.
So you write most of the songs, or all of them?
I write all of them, but I don't write every part of them, if that makes sense. So, like, I don't write the violin parts. Sam writes the violin parts, and I don't write the bass parts. Like, Ben will write the bass parts, and, like, I'll have input.
But lyrics-wise, you write
lyrics
all the...
Yeah, lyrics-wise. Yeah, Chase.
I mean, Jeff Rosenstock is so integral to Bomb the Music Industry that he can stop Bomb the Music Industry and start another band called Jeff Rosenstock, and it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine, and it kind of sounds like Bomb the Music Industry.
And it's Bomb the Music Industry, yeah. Basically.
With different people.
Yeah. Well, I think that... Isn't the bassist...
It's still the same bassist. Kevin's playing drums for them right now. He actually worked at the School of Rock in San Diego for a while. Yeah. So it's mostly a different lineup, except for John playing bass.
Okay.
Yeah.
What has been your favorite song to write? Of all the songs you've written and played, lyrically and musically,
do you have... whatever song I'm writing at the moment.
At the moment, yeah. Whatever you're feeling.
Yeah, I mean, I have favorite songs... Like, I have songs that will always be in our set list forever and ever, probably, just because they make me feel good to sing.
And which songs?
The Kids Will Be All Right eventually is definitely that song.
One of your favorite songs to play?
Yeah, it's like such a cathartic song to sing and to play, and so that'll always be in the lineup. I think we've not played it at maybe 3 shows.
Do you remember how you came about writing that song?
well, I remember I was hanging out in my room in college, and I was just messing around on my roommate's electric guitar with like the reverb really heavy, and then I just came up with that riff, and that's all, I guess. I guess it wasn't that interesting of a story. So yes, I do. But it's not interesting, and I shouldn't have told it.
Just like I shouldn't have said I came totally unprepared. I guess I'm not that unprepared.
Yeah, you got questions? We all got questions. I've got questions for you guys. What the heck am I doing here?
Because every single night I have a couple hundred thoughts running through my brain. And every single morning waking up and always knowing that they called. That they called me names. And I know I'm disappointed. Yeah, I know I'm disappointed. So I'm sorry, Mom. Someday I'm gonna change. Someday I'm gonna change for the better, Mom.
I feel like Sliding with Tigers is one of the more known bands like from the Southern California scene. I mean, of our friends, basically. Like, yeah. What was it like to see when you start seeing people on the internet being like, oh, I love your music and I know the words and like are on the other side of the country?
It feels super nice. I'm still not good at taking a compliment. Like, as soon as you compliment me, I'm going to deflect it and say, like, oh, no, I suck. You know, like, that's just kind
of. Like, how dare you?
Yeah, why would you say about me, that nice thing that you said. But it's super weird, because this band was never supposed to be anything more than just like me throwing up my feelings into a microphone, you know? Yeah. So it's weird, and for me the songs are so like personal, and I found out that the more specific and personal a song is, the more people are like, yeah, I really relate to that. Whereas, like, you listen to a country song, it's like, I love you like I love whiskey. And it's like, that's so vague and generic. Like, who can
Everyone
relate to that?
Everyone should relate. Well, I mean, I don't drink, but I still feel like I relate to that.
Yeah, right?
I think it depends on, like, the type of country, maybe.
Totally. Well, yeah, like, old definitely. Country music. Yeah, like, old country music. And they're still good, like, alternative country music. Yeah. Like, Nico Case will always be the best, and, you know, Gretchen Wilson?
Gretchen Wieners.
Yeah, Gretchen Wieners. Not for you, Gretchen. I think it's Gretchen Wilson. She has that song, Orphan Child? Alison Krauss, people like that. Like, there's super good country music. But again, those songwriters, they write real songs. Like, they write songs that are very specifically about their lives, and there's no vague generalities to them. And that's why you love them, is because you feel like you know that person. So I think that's what people relate to. That's not even the question you asked.
No, it's fine. But
it's a great response.
But it's super weird.
I don't even remember what he asked. What did you ask, Joe?
I feel like when talking about country music for a minute.
Yeah.
I feel like when most people think of country music, often they're thinking of pop country.
Oh yeah.
Which I'm really glad that you specified pop country when you're talking about
what kind of country I was into when I was a tiny baby child.
Yeah. Because I feel like it's wrong to dismiss a genre, any genre of music outright. And, like, there's so many times you hear people saying, like, oh, I love everything except I hate country.
Which is such a weird sentence to say. Yeah. Because if you love everything but country, like, that means that you like some weird stuff. Like, that means that you love the Locusts. That means you love Melt Banana. That means
those people exist.
That means you love old Miley Cyrus, you know? That means you love all this stuff, and for whatever reason, your line in the sand is like a fiddle and a Telecaster guitar. Like,
it's like, I hate country, but I love Morrissey.
Yeah. So it's just so funny that, like, that, I mean, you don't hear that sentence as much anymore because everybody's on the internet and they all find their favorite music. Like, I like this specific genre of music. I like twinkle pop, you know, like.
Twinkle pop.
Yeah, you know. You know.
Bright guitars.
Sparkles.
Yeah. Sparkly guitars.
Glitter everywhere.
But it's poppy, you know? Like churches.
Like the Irenic.
Yeah. Like, no, like the band churches.
Yeah, yeah.
With a V.
Yes.
Chiverches.
Yeah, I don't really, I mean, I don't know them, but I know that they're a band.
They're so good.
Their I like the way it sounds.
So solid.
Chiverches.
Yeah.
It's so solid. It's like every song is perfect. And I don't like a lot of people don't like really pristine music and music that's recorded perfectly and like every part of it is like, that's in tune, that's great, that's perfect. But like this is that and it's awesome. It like reminds me of early Madonna. You know, like listening to early Madonna music and being like, oh my gosh, like I didn't know pop music could be this like solid.
Early Madonna music is pretty solid.
Oh yeah. Starlight, that's how I see tonight. That song is perfect. It's a perfect pop song. If you disagree with that, you can get right out of this room.
Oh man, the whole studio audience just walked right
Everybody
out.
Left. The
very polite studio audience that hasn't laughed or clapped for anything.
Well, the bulb on the applause sign is busted.
So I understand you're retired punk and you're now into dad rock, yes. Right? Dad rock is your thing.
Mm-hmm. So I want to write just AC/DC songs from now on.
I could do that.
Just key of A. You're there, buddy. You're there. Keep the drummer going. Psht, 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 psht. You got an AC/DC.
Let me ride out.
There we go. Yeah. Let me ride out. That's our new song.
Let me ride out.
We're there.
What's your favorite thing to listen to right now? What is some of your favorite bands to listen to?
Oh, man. It changes every day. But that new Alison Weiss album is...
Who's that?
Mamma Mia. Alison Weiss?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you have to listen to Alison. Okay, so Alison Weiss existed for a long time. She put out like a YouTube video back in the early days of herself covering Future 86 by Bomb the Music Industry. And ever since then, she's kind of like been very involved in the punk scene. But she's not like a real, she's not like a punker, you know?
Yeah.
She writes really awesome songs. Yeah, she's a poser. That's what I'm trying to say. Alison, if you're listening to this,
Joe thinks you're a poser.
No, she's one of those people, kind of like Laura Stevenson, where they're so ingrained in the punk scene.
Sorry.
Can't handle it.
I laugh for everything, but that just made me laugh.
Yeah, they're like, it's like Laura Stevenson, where the music that they're making is not technically punk music. Just like the music that I make is not, you
or
know.
Most of us.
Yeah, most of us.
Most of our friends.
Yeah, most of our friends don't make punk music. But, you know.
Punk.
That's
a good genre.
Yeah.
I mean, there's folk punk, there's pop punk, there's punk.
Ska punk, and then there's punk, you know? There's metal jacket punk. Metal jacket?
Yeah, that's full metal jacket punk.
No, I mean leather jackets with studs with metal parts on them. That's what I was trying to say. Did not succeed. But, yeah. What was I saying?
Alison Weiss.
Record is fantastic.
What's it called?
New Love.
Okay.
It's got like this super 80s Breakfast Club vibe to it.
So do you.
Thank you.
I love it.
Welcome to my new show, Breakfast Club. And what else? Oh, the Church's album, of course. The New World is A Beautiful Place I'm No Longer Afraid to Die album is like
that's
masterful.
That's a great name.
It's an amazing name because it makes you say it all the time. So there, that record's really good. It just came out super recently. What else? There's so much good music that happening this year. It's crazy. I can't stop listening to the Weatherbox album that technically came out last year. Yeah, it's a great time.
What a time to be alive.
What a time to be alive, baby.
What's your favorite punk band for the year?
Favorite punk
one.
Band?
Only three. One. Or three.
What is that?
I don't know.
How do I answer that?
Well,
I don't know. My favorite...
Madonna.
Madonna's...
What song, what band have I seen the most? Western Settings is a good band out of San Diego you should all check out. There's not a best punk band, just like there's not a best.
Did I say
pizza.
What's your best punk band?
What's
I meant to say
favorite?
Your favorite.
I don't
what's
have
your best punk band?
Just like I don't have a favorite kind of pizza. It's all great. Or I don't have a favorite pie. You know, my favorite kind of pie is pie.
Yeah, pie.
Pie. It's like punk. What else? I don't know. What am I listening to?
Or what's
it's so hard to? Why is this so hard to say? The new Titus Andronicus album is perfect.
What album has inspired you the most this year? There you go.
I don't
That's
know. Still have no
me.
Good answer.
You're like me, Slutty
yeah.
with Tigers.
I made a sick album this year. I don't know. What do I listen to? songs. It's there's so much.
Madonna.
Again, this year has been so crazy for music. I just can't even, you know, into it, over it. I always go back to, oh, Sprainard is my favorite band in the whole wide world. There we go. That's my answer.
Perfect.
Sprainard. They're the best. They're the best pop punk band in the whole wide world.
Any albums you recommend?
Mabel and Fun Titled.
That's,
listen to Fun Titled first.
I have Fun Titled.
Listen to Fun Titled first. That's a great entrance point. And then Mabel is where they, it's a little bit different, but it's still Sprainard. So.
I will definitely take you up on that.
Oh, man. It's so
I don't know. I've never heard of them.
It's very, like, Latterman-y pop punk.
Okay.
So they play in the key of E a lot, which is nice. Real soothing. And the hooks are, you know, they got the hooks. They got the lyrics. Woo! Kick out the jams.
Space jams.
Yes.
So I got two more questions that I, in the queue, in the stack. So
back,
I'll pop
back
those
in the
off.
Stack.
One of them is, have you been in any other bands, like, where you were writing, or not even necessarily writing music, but, like, more than just an accessory to a band?
Nope. No.
Sliding with Tigers is...
Well, that's not true. When I was in high school, I played drums in Atticus and the Boo Radleys, which is AJ Peacock's of Days of Light Gravity fame now. He also plays bass in Weatherbox. We were just, you know, acoustic coffee shop music. I mean, it was better than...
Kind of like Jewel? I'm just I
more
really...
like Dashboard Confessional.
Okay.
More like super Dashboard inspired acoustic music. But that that one I was just playing drums. And then in Grimluck I'm just the side screamy percussion playing goofball. No, I don't really have I'm not important in that band. I don't think so. Like the show could easily happen without me. Yeah, that's I haven't played in a lot of bands. I mostly made this project because I'm very specific in what I want to do.
Yeah.
With music, and I don't know. Yeah. I want to start another band. I want to start another band called Have a Great Summer.
I was hoping you would say Sliding with Tigers.
Ooh.
That's my Sliding with Tigers cover band.
Yeah. Ooh. Oof. Oh, no. I was in a band called Awesome the Band in college. It was a comedy folk trio. This one time, we opened up our show by telling everybody that we were a Bon Jovi tribute band. And instead of playing Bon Jovi songs, we just sang a song about what we thought it would be like to be John Bon Jovi. And nobody got
it. All the lyrics were a tribute to.
Yeah, exactly. Not... Yeah, we were a tribute to John Bon Jovi, not necessarily
that sounds awesome.
A cover band.
Do you have anything recorded?
There's videos of us playing, like, we did a couple cover shows. Like, our school would do 90s nights and stuff like that. And we would play, like, a Now 3 medley. So we played a medley of most of the songs on Now. That's what I call Music Volume 3.
There's like 27 of those now, right?
Oh,
more.
There's more than
really?
That. And if you go into the British versions, there's over 100, I think.
That's insane. That's
oh, yeah.
The British ones have been going on for a long, long time.
And there's also, like, ones that aren't part of the main continuity.
Yeah, they're
but
non-canonical,
are,
you mean?
Yeah, they're non-canonical. They're not canon, but they're like, now that's what I call folk or whatever.
Now that's what I call Shrek.
Yeah.
There is one that's called Now That's What I Call Shrek. It's all the best songs on the Shrek soundtrack.
I would totally
which is every song.
That.
It's just
somebody.
I was just wearing my Shrek shirt yesterday.
Me. One of my buddies.
You have a Shrek shirt?
Yeah, I'll show you right. After.
Thanks.
It's got my name on
Thanks,
it.
Daddy.
My friend made it for my birthday.
Ooh.
It's great. Thanks, Marissa.
Thanks, Marissa.
I received a text from my friend saying that one of our friends serenaded an entire kitchen staff to Smash Mouth that song just last night. Just Joe, you're the best.
When I was in elementary school, one of the kids in class, we were just like doing silent reading time. And he just starts like humming to himself. He's like, somebody once told me the world was gonna roll me. And then other people started joining in.
How did you
not the sharpest tool in the shed. And the whole class sang the entire song together. And it was
he is not coming, I'm not coming.
To the rules and I hit the ground running. Didn't make sense.
I was trying to remember it. I was trying to chime in. I'll just
song.
I'm sure
you're not
you've
a
heard...
true 90s kid.
That song's so... I was so embarrassed.
Hashtag 90s kids.
I'm sure you've heard Neil Cicierga's Mouth Sounds. Have you heard this album?
No.
I think there's two albums at this point
Mouth
now.
Mouth Sounds?
It's called Mouth Sounds, and Neil Cicierga is, I think that's how you pronounce his last name, has been like an internet personality since like Flash videos were a thing, and he did Potter Puppet Pals, if you've
seen
those.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah,
and
yeah. He's also in
a band called Lemon Demon that had like a bunch of Flash animation videos for their music. But
I miss those kinds of bands.
Yeah, me too. And he made this album, and every track is like music mashed up with All Star. And the best one is Imagine by John Lennon and All Star mashed together.
Wow.
And it's perfect. And now what I do at karaoke is you put on Imagine, and then you sing the words to All Star over it. And it's like 90%. There.
Wow.
It ends a little early, but it's still a great, great fun thing to do.
Wow. That's an exciting piece of information for me.
Yeah. It makes karaoke really good.
Do people get it?
Yeah.
They do?
Yeah.
Okay.
The couple times I've done it, they get it.
Okay. I would be really nervous about doing that.
Yeah.
And like going full force into it and having everybody just be like, I don't think I'm on board with this. Hey, you're singing the wrong words.
You should just sing your songs like that.
Hey. Hey, everybody. My name's Simon with Tigers. Songs are going to sound a bit different tonight.
You should try it.
I'm not going to. Not right now. I'm not in the right headspace right now. I ate a really big burger today. Feeling very weird. My whole body is like, why'd you put that in me? I'm like, shut up, body.
I'm the boss of you.
Yeah, I'll take you wherever I want, body. It's like, yeah, I'll get it, but maybe don't
we're
get
in this
the
together.
Maybe don't get the burger with deep fried bacon on it. It's like, bacon's fine as it is. You don't need to deep fry it.
It's like, meet me halfway, man.
And you didn't even bread it before you deep fried it. Come on.
That's just double cooking it.
Yeah, you're just double cooking. And now you're cooking with sauce. And they did double fry the fries.
That sounds
super good.
That sounds painful afterwards. It sounds delicious, but
I'm telling you, I don't feel right. my back hurt. Like straight up, my back was like, I don't like this.
It's a burger place and chiropractic. Yeah. Practice.
I feel like I need to like move some stuff around.
Burgers and spine alignments.
Ooh.
That's my next band.
Burgers and Spine Alignments. Spine Alignments is a good band name, I think.
Yeah, that's decent.
Burgers, you're just adding too much. Eventually, yeah. You're going to try and switch that to Burgers, but everybody's like, he's trying to get on Burger Records. I'm like, no, I'm not.
It's the Spine Alignments, yeah.
The Spine Alignments.
The Spine Alignments.
Spine Alignments.
That's good.
I like that. I like it a lot. You can have it.
Thank you. Somehow you just took my band name and gave it back to me, and I really appreciate that you gave it back.
Well, you said it, and then I'm the corporate overlord that kind of moved it around, made it a little bit, you know, more streamlined, and then I gave it back to you.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
He moved it through his bowels.
Yeah. I digested it, and now it is passing through my body into the toilet that is your band.
Do you know the comedian Eric Andre?
Yeah.
Have you been to ericsbandnames.com?
No.
He has this bit.
It's a weird way to answer that question. No.
He has this.
Me laughing and saying no at the same time because I imagine it to be great.
He has this bit where he's just like, I come up with a lot of band names and I write them down. And then he just goes on his phone and reads out a bunch of these band names and he put them up all night. It's just a list. And that's and like a picture of him at the top. And that's whole website.
I like it.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Got to start a Dan's band. Dan's band's name.
Dan's band's name.
Slang with Tigers.
I have way too many websites as it is.
Oh, what domain names do you own?
I don't own a lot of domain names, but I own a lot of Tumblrs.
Okay.
And they're all bad. I don't suggest going to any of them.
I just recently bought alexanderthegrape.biz,
ooh,
which I'm really happy about, because that has been a joke of ours for years, and then I finally did it. But I don't want to like develop a website, so I think I'm just going to make a redirect to our LinkedIn page, because we do have a real-life LinkedIn page.
That's awesome. And with a biz, it makes even more
sense.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's so funny. We had slidingwithtigers.xxx for a while.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And we had...
For a while? Did you lose it?
Yeah, I just didn't... there's another funny story after that. So, when you sign up for a .xxx account, you also have to register it with the Adult Film Websites Guild. So you have to. So once you get
a guild,
yeah, I guess
for
so.
The websites.
So once you get the domain name, after that you have to go and do a separate sign up for the .xxx domain like group, and it's very weird, and you feel very uncomfortable doing it.
Oh, that's gross.
That's adorable, right? Thank in your beard.
Oh,
gross. Just, yeah, I'm totally
nobody
kidding.
Should ever. If you're ever thinking of growing a beard with a big mustache.
Dude, I don't even have a beard, and that happens to me all the time. Really?
All right. Do you need a tissue?
I would love one if you have one. Well, if you don't have one, I'll figure it out.
I mean, we got.
This is great podcasting. We should definitely delete this. Everybody's gonna.
This is like
stacking
tissue paper.
I will absolutely use it. This, I feel a little less gross. This whole thing.
I'm so sorry. I'm such an asshole.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and then the other thing that happened was I lost.
Crumple that right into the mic.
The other thing that happened. Oh, I should stop crumpling. Disgusting human.
Just throw it on the ground.
Okay, well, now that we got through that. So the other funny thing that happened was I forgot to re-register sleddingwithtigers.com. I forgot for maybe like 15 days. So we lost it because someone else went in and bought it. So someone else
owned...
Some
crazy fan.
No, not even a crazy fan. Just like a company that does that. Yeah. That waits for things to expire and then buys them. So they wanted to sell it back to me for $300. And I was like, no way, Jose, I don't have $300. That's too many dollars. So I just bought sleddingwithtigers2000.com. So now if you want to go to our website, it's sleddingwithtigers2000.com.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a good Conan O'Brien reference?
No, but it could be.
Now it is.
Now it is. In the year 2000.
When the Space Jam album, like, came out...
Hit the streets,
and there was a lot of coverage, because it's super... You can fit that into a clickbait title.
Oh, yeah.
So well.
We quickly turned from Slaying with Tigers into this band.
Yeah, yeah.
In, like, 5 seconds. Which was really funny, because...
This band did a whole album about Space Jam.
Like, why don't you just include our name?
Yeah, I live in a bubble.
That's okay. But, yeah, it was really... That was weird. Mostly because the original Noisy article, which is something that we actually set up and was like kind of an orchestrated thing where we were like...
Oh, yeah.
Because they were premiering something for us.
Okay.
And they actually, their title was Sledding with Tigers, wrote a whole album about Space Jam, which is totally, that I think sums it up greatly because it includes all the information you need. And then you can also go to the website. But I don't understand why these websites do the thing that they did. Do they think that when people see, like, this band recorded a whole album about Space
Jam? Well,
they're
Jam, like, maybe it's Anderson, Lake, and Palmer.
Maybe it's Linkin Park. And then they go, it's like, who the hell is Slime with Tires? So, but yeah, it was nice, but it didn't really change a lot. Like, we got a whole bunch of coverage from weird websites, but, like, it's... All the still same kids show up to shows, and
yeah,
we didn't get famous. Like, a lot of people tend to think, or they're like, oh yeah, now you're famous. And it's like, nope.
Now all the money just rolls right in.
Yeah, now the Spotify streams are just rolling on in, baby.
I mean, I was just wondering if, like, if you knew of people that did stick around because of that, or if it was just like you saw your Bandcamp plays go doop and then right back down.
There is a boop. And a boop, you know,
yeah,
just like any one of those days where a lot of stuff happens. But I don't know. Maybe.
Anyone out there
found out about us through a Noisy article, that'd be exciting. I know there are people in San Diego that only started paying attention to us after the Noisy article.
Yeah.
Like, we're nominated for a San Diego Music Award.
Hey.
Which is tomorrow.
To be fair, yeah. I barely started paying attention to you today.
Nice.
I'm a big fan.
You're regretting that decision almost immediately.
No, it's...
I'm
already a great
fan. So there's a lot of, like, San Diego music journalists and, like, people in San Diego that never cared about us until we had, like, a Noisy article about us, you know? So that's the weirdest, because when you're a band for as long as we've been a band, you're like, well, we've been here. like, I've been writing these songs for, you know, 5 years, and I don't think they've gotten markedly better. Like, I think we're still kind of, like, I'm still plugging. Well, maybe they have. I don't know. I'm kind of too inside. I'm like, yeah, I've been writing down my feelings in songs for 5 years. Why didn't you care 5 years ago? But it's just,
I think there's definitely a progression, and I think you've gotten better at writing songs.
Yeah, that first album sucked.
No. What I was about to qualify it with was, I mean, the first stuff is really good too, and they should have paid attention to you all along.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I don't even want to say, like, oh, they should have been paying attention to us all along.
We should have been best band the past 5 years.
It's just funny that, like, this is the time that we're getting nominated for, like, a San Diego Music Award, is, like, when we made the dumbest thing I've ever made in my life. You know? Like, yeah, you should keep doing this. And it's like, I'm probably not going to. And they're like, well, we'll stop paying attention to you then.
Yeah.
It's weird.
They're giving, incentivizing the wrong.
Yeah. And I also shouldn't say that, because there are, like San Diego City Beat has always been, like, a good supporter of us even before all of this stuff happened. But it was really funny, because one of the other San Diego music publications reached out, and they're like, hey, we want to do this interview with you guys. I'm like, oh, cool. And then, like, he came back a week later, and he's like, I didn't know that you did an interview with the City Beat. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I just, you didn't care about us until just now.
Like, we didn't have the scoop on Sledding with Tigers.
Yeah, like, they thought that they were the first ones to find out that we existed, and they was wrong.
Sucks for them.
Yeah, it does suck for them. Idiots. I'm just kidding.
No, you're not. You're not kidding.
They're very nice people. They're all very nice people. And they're not mean.
They're mean.
They just do funny stuff. Or at least stuff that I think is funny.
Kind of like you.
Yeah. Hey.
So what are your favorite types of shows to play? Location-wise, people, place?
I love playing a show at the Che Cafe more than anything else in the world. I love being the only folk band on a lineup. I am so tired of playing, like, folk punk shows. I get, like, when there's 6 folk punk bands on a lineup, I don't remember 4 of them. You know,
it's good to have a mix up of things. It's, like, definitely.
I want
to
be the band that there's been, like, 2 pop punk bands, and we're in the middle and we play on the floor. You know, that's where I feel the most comfortable, because I don't know. Like, it's just so much of the same thing sometimes. And when we go on tour, sometimes less successfully than others, but when we go on tour, people tend to book us with folk punk bands. I'm like, you don't have to do that. Like, throw a hardcore band on there, you know. Throw something weird. Throw, like, an electronic band. Like, I don't know. Like, all these shows where every band is the exact same, I'm just not into.
I feel that. I totally feel that.
Yeah, I definitely like when there's a mix of stuff better than just one.
That's why sometimes I will turn down a show if it's all the same band. Like, if, like, even if it's a show that I'm like, oh, that would be a really rad show. Like, if we're the 4th folk punk band on that lineup, I'm going to turn it down probably sometimes.
Good to know.
Yeah, that sounds... Just everybody that...
Yeah,
you know.
Heads up! No, but... And luckily, like, recently we've been getting the opportunity to play with bands like Sea Haven.
Now you're not going to get booked with any folk
punk
bands. They're all
going to hate you. I'm so okay with that. That's so mean. No, but we're playing with Blackbird Rum next week. But they're also so much different than us.
Yeah.
That I don't feel weird about that, you know?
I don't even really call them folk punk anymore. It's something
they're like a whole different.
They're like Blackbird Rum punk.
Yeah,
especially
so
their
red.
New album is, like,
amazing.
It's great, and it's really, like, there's guitars. Yeah, which another stuff has guitar, and there's, like, synthesizers,
totally.
And stuff on there, and it's awesome. Yeah,
yeah, the other thing I like to play are 3-band shows. 4 bands is okay. 5 bands, I'm starting to get upset. 6 bands. I'm gonna be grumpy. It's just gonna happen. I think, you know, what people end up doing, and what promoters, especially when they're young and they're really starting to promote DIY shows, is they get really nervous that the bands that they booked aren't gonna bring people. So they book 2 more bands, and then one of their friends asks, hey, can I play this show? And they're like, I can't say no, because I haven't learned how to say no to my friends yet.
And everybody on the West Coast has that accent, by the way.
Yeah, and so And so
there's already eight bands. Why not add a ninth?
Yeah, exactly. That's what happens. And when you get to those shows, I get so bummed out. Like, not because I don't want to see a bunch of new bands. It's because
that's a lot to take in.
In an eight band show, I'm tired by the third band. By the fifth band, I want to go home, but I'm there to see the seventh band, you know, or the eighth band. I will forget about six of those bands at that point. If it's a three-band show...
Well, how else are you going to hear about them?
When they play a three-band show, and I remember them, you know? Like, when you see a three-band show, you remember every single one of those bands.
That's true.
Even if you didn't love one of those bands, especially the opener band, like, if they play a 25-minute set, I'll sit through a 25-minute set of a band I don't really care about. But I'll watch it, and I'll remember who that band is. Whereas, like, on one of those, like, five or six-band shows... Half of those bands, I won't remember a single thing about the next day.
Yeah, definitely. When I book shows, or not that I really have booked shows in the past few months, but like in Santa Cruz, I was booking a lot of shows, and I mostly stuck to four, and then occasionally would do five if there was like two touring bands something. And there was a couple where we had to do six because it was like whatever the case was. Like sometimes there'd be three touring bands or something, or like.
But when that happens, you're like,
it's just
oh,
especially like for a promoter. I feel like a lot of people don't realize how taxing that is.
Yeah,
it's like, and a lot of promoters do that to themselves, and like,
totally.
It's just I want to be home by like I want the show to be done by 11 at the very very latest.
Yeah,
like.
Exactly.
Your grandma baby.
That's fine.
I am too. I get tired at like 9:30. It's past my bedtime, and it's barely 8:40.
It's so funny. And like, I should say that the reason I'm so passionate about that, and the reason I have such a strong opinion about it, is because I have done all of that. I've booked the seven band show because my friend asked to play, and I regretted it later.
Hopefully this is super helpful to some people. This might be some good advice.
Yeah, yeah. Just take all the mistakes that we made. Just don't make them.
Or everybody's gonna be like, "That guy's a jerk."
Yeah, that guy's a jerk. And then they
played on a seven band show,
and it was great. Every show needs to be a fest.
Did he remember my band?
Yeah.
No, he probably didn't.
No, probably not.
So, how many tours have you been on?
I think we've done like three. Maybe four. It depends on what you count as a tour. We've done like little short 4-day things. And we've done, you know, longer week long things. And then I tried to do a 2-week thing. And
how did that go?
Really great. My car didn't fare so well, but we had fun for the 3 days we were out. Our car flipped in the middle of Oklahoma.
Oh shit! Yeah. Oh god, I hate Oklahoma. Oh, it's terrible.
Me too.
Oklahoma's the worst place in everywhere.
Yeah, we didn't make it to St. Louis, but
oh, it sucks.
That's all right, dog. It's been a year now, so I'm all emotionally dealt with it. I have a new car.
That's super good.
Yeah, I mean it was a bummer, but yeah, stuff like that happens.
Yeah.
You know?
So where
and now we have a cool story and a cool t-shirt.
Yeah.
We made a t-shirt out of the picture of my car on the side of the road.
That was awesome. Can I find one of those?
Oh, you can't. They're all gone.
Oh.
I know.
So where, like, what areas have in the U.S. have you toured in?
Mostly up and down the West Coast, to be honest. Like, we've hit Vegas. That tour was supposed to kind of take us across to the East Coast because I'd love to do the East Coast. I know we have people on the East Coast that would book us shows and they would come see us. And all these people send me messages on the Tumblrs and the Twitters and the Facebooks.
And the Reddits.
Yeah, and the Reddits. And they tell me, like, oh, you should come to this place. And I would love to. But it's really hard when you're a 26-year-old dude with a good job. You know, like it's much easier to quit your job when you hate your job, I think. And it's much easier to neglect those kinds of things. But, like, I really like what I do every day. Like, I get stoked to go into work. And so it's hard for me to...
That's
like,
definitely ideal.
We are going to... I'm taking a tiny bit of time off to do a short tour at the beginning of November. But again, that's just going to be like a 4-week thing. We're going to go up to Stockton and then hit Modesto and then probably do a San Francisco date and then come home.
You said four days or 4 weeks?
4 days.
Okay.
Did I say four weeks?
I think you said weeks.
Ooh, that would be crazy.
I was
like, that's a long time.
Daddy
that's
ain't
a real
doing
tour.
That. Daddy too tired to do that.
Daddy, I mean, man.
Here's what you have to do. You have to get School of Rock to do a tour.
Yeah.
And then you just opened for them.
I think in reality, if we got offered a tour, like a really rad tour with a band that I really
you should
dug,
play with Onsend.
Like,
I read that.
Yeah, that'd be super rad. Like something like that. Like if one of those bands is like, hey, we're going on tour. Do you want to be our opener? You know, you want to be our support. I would probably say yes to that. And I could take the time off of work and, you know, make it work. But like at this point, like it just doesn't make a lot of rational sense. And I know that's not always where you should go when you're trying to be a musician. Like, rationality is not...
Yeah.
People are like, oh, you should just quit everything and go on the road and try and play music. But it's like, or I could have fun with music at home and play shows out when I can and do that sort of thing. So, it's hard.
Yeah, I struggle with that as well. Not that I even have a job, but, like, going on tour sounds super fun, but it's also... It's a lot of work. And
it is. It's a ton of work.
And I also don't really have a band right now, so like doing it by myself would be. And I also don't think that many people know me. So like, it's something that I really hope I can do in the future. But right now, it's like it doesn't feel like it'd be worth it.
Totally. Yeah. And if it,
and I feel like there's a lot of bands that don't take that into consideration. Like, I booked shows for a lot of people that I was happy and they were great, but like, you know, no one knows them, and like.
Should you have gone on tour?
And no one comes out to the show, and it's just like, and here's like $10 for gas.
Yeah.
And well, I feel so bad, but it's also just like, I can't bring people that if they don't want to see you.
Well, a lot of bands start off that way, and eventually, you know, they build a fan base, and eventually, like, they start with like 4 people at their show, and they have.
Oh, if there's 4 people like... coming to see you.
And they have
on tour,
like,
that's good.
You're
just, that's
you're
definitely
your 20
great.
Bucks.
I'm talking about no, like zero. It's
yeah, I think,
really hard. Like,
I think
you just put out your demo and now you're on tour. Like,
we definitely live in like a weird world where it's so easy to write and record an album and put it on Bandcamp. And then every band is like, I should go on tour right now.
Well, maybe you build
and
your fan base on tour. That's, I mean, maybe not.
Yeah, it's just hard. It's like some bands aren't really ready to go on tour. And they do it, and then they break up, you know? When they should have stayed in town for a little bit longer, you know, built up the local fan base, and then, you know, once they had a little bit of buzz going, then you go on tour. But some bands, they don't, they're just so, like, they've seen other bands go on tours, so like, we go on, what you do is you record your demo, and you go on tour. And it's like, I mean, it works for some people.
Yeah, Alexander the Grape did that, actually, but, like, it was a very small thing. Like, we just went up to, we played Santa Cruz, Berkeley, and then Santa Cruz again. Which was good, because we built up a very small following in Santa Cruz, and then we were back, like, 3 days later.
And they're like, yeah, the mighty return.
But it was mostly just, like, because I was in that band with 2 of my best friends, so it was mostly just, like, let's go on a trip.
Let's go hang out.
The main purpose is just to, like, hang out.
And, and if you're having fun, like, none of what I've said matters.
Oh, if you're in it for fun, don't even listen to us.
Yeah, but if you're
be rock stars.
If you're trying to be Mark Wahlberg in the movie Rockstar, what you need to do is you need to start a cover band of your favorite band, and then when they kick out the lead singer of that band, you jump in.
You get your nipples pierced, and then you jump in.
Yeah. Step one, check.
Oh.
I don't really have my nipples pierced, Mom.
He's showing me. He doesn't.
showing. Joe, look. Look, Joe.
You sure that's not a pierce?
They're clean.
You sure that's not a piercing?
Yeah, I'm positive.
No, but his belly button is pierced. Yeah. See that gem?
What if I had... Really... That would be tight. I think
you should get your belly button
belly
pierced.
Button piercings.
Yeah. I've been trying to get Eliab to get his belly button pierced for a long time, but he's like, you have to give me... If you can get $100 together and you pay for the piercing, I'll do it. So, I didn't want to do it by myself, but now that I have this huge podcast following, maybe we can all get together $150.
Start an Indiegogo campaign.
Yeah. Yeah. GoFundMe. This guy needs his belly button pierced. Oh, that's like such a waste of money.
I think it's for
I
good
disagree.
Cause.
I think it's a better GoFundMe campaign than 80% of the GoFundMes I see.
Would you mind playing a song for us? I have a guitar. You could play on it. if you want. If you don't, we could just keep talking for a bit more.
I could do that. I got a new song.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great.
Okay. Do you have a capo?
Cool. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Sick. I'm going to go get that.
Okay.
We'll just keep rolling.
Will we? Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Okay. Hi, everybody. This is a new song. It hasn't been recorded yet. I haven't played it live yet. I don't even know if it's a good song. So, we'll all get to find out together.
It's probably a good song.
I don't know. I'm on the fence. I'm the dirty shoes on your feet. And you are the reason that I can't sleep. I'm the song that gets stuck in your ear. Even when you're sick of me, man, I'm still here. You're the 100 songs I've never sung. And I'm the burning sensation in the pit of my lungs. You're the saxophone on every song. Even when you feel right, yeah, I know you're wrong. I feel like nothing. How could we be something when I feel like nothing? Make me feel like I'm something. I'm the gothic teenager in the back of the room. I am a tasteless joke being told too soon. You're an existential crisis when I look at the sky. You're the million years it took the light of the stars to hit my eye. I'm a clumsy metaphor in a high school poem in the pages of a notebook that I'll never show. And you're the saxophone on every song. Even though you feel right, yeah, I know you're wrong. I feel like nothing. How could we be something when I feel like nothing? You make me feel like I'm something. I saw you listening to it too. All right, I'm done. Get me off of this thing. Get me out of here. I'm just a man.
I'm feeling sad. I'm spreading my something. My reaction.
Dan's a nice guy. He's just a nice guy, you know? Well, today on the show we heard Never Really Good at Sports by Sledding with Tigers. Also heard The Kids Will Be Alright Eventually by Sledding with Tigers. And right now we're listening to Spooky Scary by Spraynard. I always wondered if Spraynard was an obscure Tim and Eric Awesome Show Great Job reference. I'm pretty sure it is, but if anyone could confirm that for me, that would be awesome. Anyways, thanks for listening, and tune in next week. We got more guests, more goofs, more punk. Keep it punk rock. I'm gonna walk to a place that is not my home. I'm gonna skateboard till I break it every moment.